In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
With our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant, it's just that they know so much that isn't so.
Welcome to the Real Estate Talent Program. I'm your host, Primo Mondone. My co-host, Ken Brown, will join me in a couple of minutes. Please visit the show's website at redstatetownhall.com. While you're there, be sure to like us on both Facebook and Twitter. Wish to contact us, the email address is Primo, P-R-E-M-O, at redstatetownhall.com. Our show is broadcast here on Red State Talk Radio, America's premier grassroots conservative internet talk radio network. The show is also syndicated through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podomatic, TalkStream Live, Player.fm, Roku, and at least a dozen other websites. You can listen to the station using their Android, iPhone, and BlackBerry apps. Visit the station's website, redstatetalkradio.com, to download the appropriate app for your smartphone. If you don't have a smartphone, you can listen using any phone on the station's 24/7 listener line provided by TalkStream Live by dialing the following: on Studio A, 605-562-4209, and for Studio B, 518-712-0045. Before you get started, excuse me. Let's give a shout-out to our AM, FM, and digital affiliates, WDDQ, FM 92.1, Adel, Georgia, WJNW, AM 1650, Hermitage, Tennessee, Talk Radio, AM 1620, KTFL, Gilbert, Arizona, WMQL Radio, FM 105.5, Brevard, North Carolina, excuse me again, Kaufman County, Talk Radio, AM 1680, KCTR, Terrell, Texas, WSFB, 1490 AM, Talk 97.7 FM, Quitman, Georgia, Tax Pro Radio, Gainesville, Georgia, WCNR Digital, West Virginia, and K98Talk.com. With that, let's bring on my co-host from Atlanta, Georgia, Mr. Ken Brown. Mr. Brown, how you doing today, sir?
Well, let's see. It's been raining like crazy last week or so. I haven't seen the sun in a long time.
Yeah, it's raining here, too. Yeah, quite a bit.
It's got a little chilly now. Today.
Well, it is November,
Yeah. Did you see the Saturday Night Live skit? You don't get that, do you?
No, I didn't. I'm sure it's on
Trump
by now, but I did not. How'd that go? Did you watch it?
Well, I watched some parts were really funny. They had a skit where in the beginning where Trump was already president. He was in the Oval Office and he was sitting with his cabinet all around him.
Okay.
And he asked one of his generals how we're doing in Syria, and the general says, well, ISIS is completely eliminated, the country's at peace, refugees have returned, and they have great jobs as blackjack dealers at the Trump Hotel in Damascus. And then they had the Mexican president come in the door and give him a check for the wall.
I'll have to watch that. I'll have to pull up on YouTube. That sounds pretty good.
That was really good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, there are parts of that I just about fell out laughing.
Well, what about the protests? I heard there were going to be like these
Didn't
protests outside, I guess. They said they were going to have people who were going to be in the crowd yelling and stuff.
They made fun of it though. The guy that wrote Seinfeld. What's his name? I can't remember his name. He's got his own show in HBO, but his name escapes me. But he was on there last night, and they in the beginning when Trump was doing his monologue, they cut over to the side because he was heckling from the corner.
It was all planned, of course.
But. Yeah, it was. And Donald, what are you doing here? He said, somebody told me I'd give me $5,000 if I heckled you. So, I mean, they made fun of it, but I didn't hear anything, you know, other than that.
I guess they kept them out. I guess if you looked Hispanic, you did get in, maybe. I don't know. Racial profiling. real quick, I want to mention, we've got a new program on the lineup that started this Saturday at 8 a.m. on Studio B. It's the Gun Owners News Hour. It's going to be every Saturday, 8 a.m., Studio B, and it's hosted by Larry Pratt, president of the Gun Owners Association of America, GOA, whatever. pretty good show. It's more so about the Second Amendment, gun rights, et cetera, that sort of thing. And we've been trying to work a deal out with this, and we finally got it worked out to be able to broadcast our show live. 8 a.m. Studio B. So everybody who's interested in that sort of show, check it out. And I am looking, by the way, I've been looking for a long time, an actual gun show, Ken, that would be people who are collectors. You could talk about all the various different types of weapons, like maybe just talk about World War II weapons, whatever, and talk about different types of rifles and different types of pistols and their best use, et cetera. You know, again, from not from the legal perspective, not from the gun rights perspective, but more so just about people who like guns and who like to understand the history of guns and all that sort of thing. And I have, tell you what, I have looked and looked and looked, and there's people who do gun shows like that do that. I can't find anybody that A is good and B that produces a show on a consistent basis. There are some people who produce some pretty good shows, but they just kind of do them whenever the hell they feel like it. And that doesn't work for me. You know what I'm saying? When you're trying to schedule everything and like your show will be on at this time every week and you need to produce a show every week, except for maybe holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, we can kind of excuse that. But other than that, we like to see a new product come out every week. Like we do. We do it every week. We even do it during the holidays half the time, most of the time.
Yeah, but those guys, I don't see them following schedules either. So
that is the problem. Those guys, and they're knowledgeable, and they have, like I say, sometimes they have a good show and they have good chemistry and good information, but they just kind of, they'll do a show for 3 weeks in a row, and then they won't do one for 2 weeks, and then they'll do one for a month, and then they won't do one for darn near a month, you know. And so I'm thinking, well, that's just not going to work. Mm-hmm. Anyway, if I ever find a show, if anyone out there listening knows of a show like that that actually is good and they produce on a consistent basis, drop me an email, Primo, Premo at redstatetownhall.com or Primo at redstatetalkradio.com. Either one will work. Let's get started. This actually kind of happened last week, but we didn't talk about it. It wasn't signed until this week by the president, Mr. Obama, but the Republicans capitulated, which is the way they seem to do things these days. As one of John Boehner's last acts, they agreed on a budget deal. And now I would say negotiated a budget deal with the Democrats, but I don't think that's accurate. Because when you basically give up almost everything and you get nothing in return, that's not really a negotiation, you know, kind of thing. This budget deal is horrendous. I don't know if you had a chance to even look at, Ken, but essentially, in order to give, what is the guy's name? What's the new Speaker of the House? What's his name?
Paul Ryan.
Paul Ryan. I had a brain fart there for a minute. Paul Ryan from Wisconsin. In order to give him a good start, Boehner wanted to get this budget deal done before he took control. And what he did was he basically wrote a blank check to Obama. There are no limits on spending between now and 2017. Can you believe that?
I didn't know that was part of it.
Yeah.
I thought they just gave the money, in order to give so much money to the military, they had to give the same amount of money to social programs. I didn't know there was a no limit thing.
That is essentially the thing. But normally what happens is every year you have to reauthorize after you get to a certain point when the debt limit gets to a certain point. In other words, what they did was they pulled the debt limit gaps. So it doesn't matter, even though the budget's been agreed on, and of course it's an increase for the next couple of years, but if the administration spends money otherwise and runs up to a point where they would normally have a debt limit, where they had to have a reauthorization from Congress for debt limit, there is none of that, which is essentially a blank check until 2017 when a new president comes into power.
That's scary because that guy can spend a lot of money in a year.
Well, he can spend a lot of money through executive orders and stuff, you know.
Oh.
You know how he can just say, oh, we need to do this. And Congress has shown they won't stop him. So he can come up with all kinds of stuff. Cost us all a fortune. And at this point.
He already has.
Well, he already has because we all of us, everyone listening to this broadcast who is a taxpayer, owes the federal government or owes their share of the federal government's debt. Let's put it that way. Their share of the federal government's debt right now is somewhere between $53,000 and $55,000 each. I don't remember the exact number, but it's well over $50,000. I don't think it's over 55, but the number that sticks in my head is 53 something. I may be wrong, but of course that goes up every day. Mm-hmm. But we're all at 50 something. Think about it. Every single taxpayer.
Yeah, I can't. Thanks, Chief Primo. I can't click on the Red State Talk Radio website without seeing the freaking debt clock.
What is it right now?
$18,600,000+
Well, and it's going up every single second, right?
Oh, it goes up. What is it, $1 million a minute or something? Is that what it is?
I don't know about that, but it goes up.
Yeah, I think it is.
Quick.
Yeah, I think it's pretty. It's like $1 million a minute.
Jesus.
Yeah,
we're laughing about it, but you know, there's really nothing to laugh about. It's just how absurd this whole thing has gotten. Our Republicans that we all put in office, they backstabbed us again, and they gave this guy what he wanted and more. And it's all been dumped into the next president's lap.
Well, I mean, I think the way it's explained through the conservative media, at least some of it, was that Paul Ryan had a clean slate. They wanted to give him they wanted him to have to clean up a lot of mess. This now he goes into it with, you know, all that's done. There's no turning back. But now Paul Ryan can do his thing and not to worry about past stuff from Boehner. So, yeah, you can blame Boehner if you want to, but now we got a clean slate for Paul Ryan.
Yeah, but did Paul Ryan object to this?
Oh, none of them objected to it that I could tell. It was passed real quickly.
I guess that's my point.
Well, and Obama signed it real quickly.
Oh, yeah.
So.
So, I mean, do you expect anything different out of Paul Ryan?
I would hope so, but I don't.
Just happened. He didn't object. He didn't. Nobody objected, really. So you think it's going to be any different at all, honestly?
I have hope. I'll put it that way. I always have hope, but. When Paul Ryan was, you know, when Romney picked Paul Ryan, both you and I were both giddy over that one.
Well, at the time, we thought he would be a good addition, yeah.
And I know he's made some votes that I go, huh, over the last couple, 3 years. And I'm going, that's not conservative. That's not conservative. And that's not a fighter. That's not the only fighter I see up there on a regular basis is Ted Cruz. But but let's, I know there's others up there. He's the one who gets the press, but he's also the most vocal. But I, you know, maybe there's, I like Paul Ryan. I always have. I'm disenchanted with him, but maybe he'll do some good stuff. He is a uniter. So he's the one that's united that house up there. I hope that he does some good stuff. I don't know.
Well, my problem is when you unite with the Democrats, that's a mistake right off the bat.
Well, but it's not. Now it's his watch. You know, now it's going to be his thing. So we'll see.
Well, you know, the old saying, fool me once, shame on you.
Yeah, I
know. That's shame on me.
I know. But you know what? That's all we have to go on.
I know, but I'm just saying. I'm not very optimistic. I'll just put that.
Well, and that's why I think the part of me that is optimistic is that who's leading the Republican parties right now in race for the president? Well, you got two guys that are not politicians, and those two guys have been leading it ever since day one.
Pretty much, and, yeah.
Yeah. So I mean. That gives me hope that, you know, Boehner's gone. We got there's some changes coming. Maybe, just maybe, we'll get somebody in there that's a fighter. I hope it's Ted Cruz. I do. He's my number one choice. But I want a fighter. I want somebody goes in and changes things in a conservative fashion, because we cannot. And I'm looking at this stupid debt clock right now. I hate it. We can't keep doing what we're doing.
No. Well, we can't keep doing what we're doing, but, I mean, it's going to lead to disaster. I mean, we're already at the disaster phase. Let's just be honest. We are. It's just a matter of, are we going to let – we're going to totally go down the toilet over all this stuff, or are we going to somehow salvage, you know, what we got going?
You know, when I talk to people that are liberals or vote for liberal policies and things, and I say, okay, fine – what are you going to pay with it? How are you going to pay it? How are you going to pay for it? And they go, well, the government's – well, no. Tell me how you're going to pay for it, because we're in debt now. And every hour, we go millions of dollars more in debt. And I go, tell me how you're going to pay for it. At some point, that's going to stop. It's got to. I said, you can't have a credit card and be unlimited. At some point, they stop your card, and you got to pay for it or go – file bankruptcy or something. I said, tell me how our country's going to do that. At some point, it's got to stop. I said, I don't know when that's going to be. You don't know when it's going to be. But why wait till it forces us in a major catastrophe? Mm-hmm. And they have no answer for it. There is no – the only answer for it is to stop spending what you're spending.
Well, when I ask those kinds of questions, I usually get two responses. One of them is, the government will pay for it, of course.
Yeah,
because those are people who are too damn stupid to vote right there.
That's what I'm saying. You're just an idiot if you say something like that.
And then the second response I get is, well, they'll just print more money.
And that's what they've been doing.
That's pretty much what they have been doing. Except now we don't even bother printing it anymore. We just add zeros to a computer column, you know, on a spreadsheet or a database or something. You know. We just add zeros.
I mean, really, Primo, the only thing I can think of that at some point, whoever's loaning us the money, China, whoever it is,
might want their money back.
Wants their money, and they want it all up front now, because they don't trust the credit of the country. And at that point, you have two decisions. One is to give them the money, which you don't have. Or you declare war. I don't know what else to do. What else can you do?
Well, war is better for business.
Well, that's my point. That is my point.
It might be the whole situation, huh? Right there.
I mean, it's going to lead to loss of life.
I was just joking. But I mean,
I know. Well, what kind of war are we talking about? Are we talking about nuclear? I don't. I mean, we're at the point now. It's like.
Well, let's face it. If anybody's going to try to collect the debt, it's going to be China. We have money loaned out to other people, but China has by far the biggest amount of debt. So,
mm-hmm. and they're militarily.
They're preparing for war with us, whether we
they are or not. Militarily. They're building.
They have been for quite a while, and
they are.
That's what they're doing right now.
And they've got an aircraft carrier. They're getting another aircraft carrier, and it's slowly but surely. As we go further and further in debt, they're getting stronger and stronger militarily.
It's coming sooner or later. We will at some point have to sit. We'll have to call China's bluff in the probably in the Asians, Southeast Asian Sea there near Japan and all. We'll probably have to. We have no choice.
Well, they've already trying to push their muscle up there.
Yeah,
Japan.
And we're not good enough to stop that. And that's, and of course that just causes them to be more bold. So
we got a leader that's leaderless.
yeah, that's right. Hey, real quick, we only got a few minutes before we got to go to break. Keystone Pipeline, the Keystone XL Pipeline, of course, was basically rejected by Obama this week. And the reality is, we knew this was going to happen a long time ago. This is not a big surprise for anybody. A major mistake. It's taken forever to even get to this point. And the only reason, he was stalling because of the elections. And now that the elections are over, he's not going to run again. That's why he's finally, let it come to fruition here.
Well, it's also part of the Republicans not putting stuff in front of him and making him veto stuff.
We've talked about that before. They could make this guy... The whole thing that Obama's gotten away with, trying to make Republicans look like obstructionists, is so silly. They could have easily turned this on him and made him look like the obstructionist by passing bill after bill after bill, putting it on his desk, and veto, veto, veto. If the headlines every week or two is Obama vetoes this bill, Obama vetoes that bill, or even the dumb ones out there who vote are going to sit there and go, well, when they start talking about being obstructionist, people are going to start figuring out that maybe he's the problem.
That's my point. And you know this before I even say it. I mean, it puts it out there, and now you've got Hillary Clinton who's going to have to comment on it and say, what side do you pick? But if you don't put it those stuff in front of him to make him sign it or to veto it.
She'll sidestep it as much as possible.
But it still puts her on the spot.
Yeah.
Would you have vetoed that? Would you have done this? And she has to come out and say, I'll take the side. Otherwise, she just talks women's rights and all that other kind of crap.
Well, the thing is you look at every major issue that she is for now, she was at some point against a few years earlier. I mean... There's a really good video on YouTube where it shows her not just lying, but it shows her like in 2008 when she ran for president, she had this position, and now her position is completely polar opposite. Whether it be NAFTA, whether it be gay rights and same-sex marriage. Just write down just a whole litany of stuff. There's a video that shows her doing like that on like four or five different issues. But... do you ever hear the press talk about that and mention that? Or
no, but you see him attack Ben Carson.
Oh, by the way, about Ben Carson, we're going to talk about him after the break. But because this whole thing with West Point and all that kind of stuff, I don't know if you remember this or not, but Hillary at one point claimed that she wanted to join the Marines. That she tried to join the Marines. I don't know if you ever heard that or not.
No, I haven't.
Well, there's absolutely no evidence that she ever did, and no one, of course, has looked all this stuff up. There are a few people who have, and no one can find any record that she, quote, tried to join the Marines.
Because she didn't.
Because
she lied.
I'm pretty sure she did. But did the press ask those questions? Of course not.
No.
And... I find it amazing that the mainstream media all of a sudden wants to bet presidential candidates when they didn't want to do it before.
Well, we know what they did to Herman Cain 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And now they're trying to do the same thing with Ben Carson.
Yeah, that's the first thing. When they started coming after Ben Carson, I said, well, welcome to the big leagues. This shows that they're now that you're the front runner, this is what happens when you're the front runner. As long as you stay back in the pack, they pretty much, for the most part, leave you alone.
Yeah.
Once you hit front runner status, congratulations, here it comes.
Not only that, but the polls show that Carson beats Hillary in a general election. So you have to attack him. Got to go after him. Of course,
he just got to do their job. So.
Yeah, but of course, he's not the only one that beats her in a head-to-head.
No,
as far as the polls go.
Hey, we're running a little bit late. Let's go ahead and go to break. When we come back, we've got plenty more to talk about. Stick with us. This is the Red State Town Hall program. We'll be back in just a few moments.
This is Jeff Carlisi from the Band 38 Special. You're listening to Red State Talk Radio. Lock it in and rip the knob off.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-400-1756 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-400-1756 to take your call now. Call 800-400-1756. That's 800-400-1756. Again, 800-400-1756.
Hi, this is Primo Mondoni, General Manager for Red State Talk Radio. We've been bringing you the very best in grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio for over 5 years now. One thing I've learned in those 5 years is that internet radio is a tough, competitive business. And if the station is going to advance that next level, it's going to require a significant increase in investments in both personnel and infrastructure. Our listenership grew by 42% in 2014, and with our ever-expanding listener base, it's time that we begin the move to a more listener-supported model to provide the station's future financial needs. Therefore, we're asking our loyal listeners to consider making a donation to help us reach our goals. Monthly subscriptions begin at only $2 per month, so please, help us restore conservative principles to our republic. Visit our website and become a Red State Talk Radio supporter today.
Red State Talk Radio, the talk monster.
Okay, welcome back. Thanks for sticking with us. We're going to talk about the presidential politics, but real quick, I want to mention this. There's an article from this week from the Daily Caller. Guess what, Ken? Obamacare premiums are set to soar three times faster than the Fed's claim.
No.
Yeah, I know it's hard to believe.
Obamacare, because I guess it keeps on giving.
You know what? We need to have a I told you so button I can push every time we talk about Obamacare. I cannot believe this. I can't believe this thing got ever passed. I can't believe that we actually are doing this. And I can't believe it hasn't already been repealed. And I can't believe the Supreme Court didn't get rid of this crap.
You know,
the
one good thing about Obamacare, even though it was what happened in Kentucky. Because Kentucky had, you know, they embraced Obamacare.
They were supposedly one of the success stories.
Yeah, and guess who became the governor?
Yeah, last week I think we briefly mentioned that last week that it's biting the dust. And like you said, they had a kind of an upset victory. I guess the new governor is Republican for the first time in a long time in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And
if that's not a sign of things to come, I mean, if I'm Hillary Clinton, I'm worried.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. We're going to talk about that here in a minute. But the lieutenant governor that they got elected, guess what? She's black. She's a woman, and she's a Tea Party conservative. Now, if that don't tell you something, for those out there who think. And here's something else too. Under Obama's, we'll go ahead and jump into some presidential stuff. Under President Obama's leadership, I'm using that term loosely.
Yeah.
Democrats have lost 900 plus state legislature seats, 12 governors, 69 House seats, and 13 Senate seats under his, quote, leadership. Now, how's that for a legacy?
Yeah. Yeah, those things aren't quite reported, are they?
No. People don't realize. Now, are we better off having Republicans versus Democrats in all those seats and governorships and whatever? Maybe. Sometimes it depends on who you get in those seats. We both know, and everyone listening here knows, that sometimes it's hard to tell one party from the other.
Mm-hmm.
But assuming that the Republicans will win the White House, get a true conservative, not a fake rhino, a true conservative, who has the leadership capabilities to lead our House, Senate, governorships, etc., we could do a lot of reversal in terms of what's been going on in this country for the past few years. Now, but then again, even if that happens, okay, think about it. Another 4 years, 8 years later, the country's liable to go the other direction again. That's the one thing about, if you look at the cycles in American politics, we go to the left, we go to the right. We go to the left, we go to the right. Over and over and over again in cycles of 4 and 8 and 12 and 16 years, whatever, you know. And not just when it comes to state houses, but also, of course, the presidency. So, I don't know. I'm just glad we're not like Italy or someplace like that. We have so many parties that you're fighting trying to get a majority rule by trying to get several parties together. Can you imagine if we had, like, let's say, there are other parties other than Democrat and Republican in this country. There are. We have, actually, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, we have a Socialist Party. We have a Communist Party. We have a Libertarian Party. We have all, but none of them have any real
clout.
You know, there's two major parties. But in places like Italy and other parts, especially in Europe, even Turkey is dealing with this right now. Everything's gotten so splintered in so many different parties that no single party can rule. They had to patch together a quilt of other parties that they can negotiate and agree upon sort of rule. But the problem is, half the time once they do that, Ken, it doesn't last that long before someone gets ticked off and then they leave, and then, of course, you can't get anything done again. So,
what worries me here is that it's the Democrats have now become almost a socialist party. And that this was not the case when we were kids. John F. Kennedy, if you hear some of the things that he said, he would not be a Democrat today.
No.
So the swings are extreme. I mean, Barack Obama, my God, talking about extreme.
Well, it's funny you brought up John F. Kennedy. If you think about some of the things that John F. Kennedy said during his term in the 60s, I'm not even sure he'd be a Republican today.
He's a DPT party.
Well, he might be. You know, seriously. Here's the thing. It is less than 90 days to the Iowa caucuses. That's kind of hard to believe.
We're a year out, right? And today, the year out from the general election?
But right now, next year, this is November, what's the day? The
8th.
So it's early part of November, whatever the first Tuesday of November is, whatever that is. I don't have a calendar in front of me.
Yeah, we're a year out.
We're basically a year out from the general election. We're less than 9 days from the Iowa caucuses. And, of course, right after the Iowa caucuses, you have New Hampshire and South Carolina, then Nevada and whatever. And then the Super Tuesday thing, you know, in the South. we're gonna know in just a few short months where this thing kind of going. You know, at least we'll have a better idea anyway. just real quick before we get into some other presidential stuff, let's make a wager right now or a bet or whatever you want to call it. Will Donald Trump and Ben Carson, the two front runners, they're clearly the two front runners. Will they still be the front runners, let's say, 6 months from now? Will one or both be there or gone? Yeah,
in my own opinion, I know you're asking this in a general question, but for me, in my own opinion, I think one will be there. I think one will still be around. That won't be Trump. I think that Carson's going to be hard to maneuver around, even if you're Cruz or Rubio, because he's the outsider. And because they've stuck around this long, and Carson has really grown, and because the media is attacking him now, I think it's what Ben Carson said. He said, "You're doing me a favor. See, this is going to make more support for me." And I think it is.
Yeah, I'd like to see what the polls are going to be after this recent assault on Ben Carson. Whether or not will he gain more stature, or will they succeed in sinking his candidacy?
Well, look at this guy. I mean, look at this story.
Oh, look, he is a fantastic story.
Look what he's accomplished and where he came from, and guy's a brain surgeon, and from what I can tell, you know, I know they're trying to find anything they can on him, but I don't think there's anything there to get.
Yeah, you know, I've always joked that unless he had an affair with a nurse or something.
The hospital. He even said they're gonna try to find me. I had this affair with this nurse, then he said he wanted to say that, you know, they're gonna, you know, try to find a kindergarten teacher where I peed my pants.
Yeah,
and I mean they'll try to find anything.
Well, I don't know if peeing his pants, maybe pooping his pants, that would be bad. Right?
Yeah, but I've been impressed with him. I bet you have too.
Yeah.
How he's handled himself, you know, he doesn't get rattled.
Well, I tell you one thing I like about him, he's way down my list, to be honest with you, as far as who I want to be president. But I would vote for him. But here's the thing. I like the fact that he's fighting these guys. He's like, basically, he's like, screw you. I'm not going to listen to this stuff. And you're not going to sit there and tell lies on me and blah, 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 blah. And then he pulled out the card. He said, you know, it's funny. It said no one had any of these questions for President Obama. You know, when he ran, nobody checked it. And then he brought the whole thing about his college records. He talked about Reverend Wright and Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayer. Said nobody had any questions about all that. Said nobody had any questions about why his college records are sealed. Said why is it you don't ask? You're checking in on my background and whether or not I went about West Point and all this kind of stuff. No one has ever asked why are Obama's college records sealed.
Yeah.
You don't have a question about that.
He didn't let that go. He said, why not? And
they tried to change the subject.
He said, tell me why. Tell me why.
Why is
that? That's what I like about it.
Yeah. I thought, well, good for him.
Yeah, and I think a lot of these people in this country feel the same way that he does and you and I do. Yeah. The media is way overstepped their bounds, and they do pick sides.
Oh, yeah. Well, if the CNBC debate, you know, while recently didn't point that out, I don't know what else could. But
no, I know.
Real quick, Jeb Bush, have you noticed where he is on the polls now? Way down.
And I've noticed he's more and more commercials for him are coming on the.
Yeah, he starts suspending that money. But here's the thing, you know, we got this new debate. I think this week on Fox Business Channel, and two of the folks are not going to make it this time. We had 10 people in the last debate at CNBC. This new debate, guess who got kicked off the stage? and they're going to be in the undercard debate. Is Chris Christie and Mike Huckabee have both been eliminated. There's only going to be eight in the debate this time because they're low poll numbers. Now here's the thing. That might make that undercard debate a little more interesting. I don't know. Because basically you just had Jindal and Graham that made it even worth watching at all before. But now you'll have Huckabee and Christie in there. So it might be a little more interesting. Plus, on the main stage, you're only going to have eight people. Hopefully they'll get a little more time. That would be good. But, you know, I'll kind of admit, Huckabee and Christie both had some pretty good lines the last debate. Kind of missed them in a way, but maybe Cruz will have some extra time to shine. Maybe Fiorina will. Maybe Rubio will. Maybe, you know, I don't know who's left. Let's think about who do we have left? We got Fiorina, Cruz, Rubio, Paul. Rand Paul's, believe it or not, still there.
Bush,
of course. That's, what, five? And then you've got Carson Trump, 6-7. Who's the eighth?
Kasich?
Yeah, there you go, Kasich from Ohio. Yeah. He needs to go, is what I'm concerned.
But you know, there's. I like the competition. You know, there's, like I said, like you said, there's people I'd vote for.
Yeah, there's. Yeah.
And I'd be happy with a lot of them, three or four of them. I would go, okay, I'm good with that. And I have my druthers, but I'll take about four of them very easily.
I was sitting here thinking I would think four, maybe five that I'd be willing to vote for. There's still two or three that on that eight member debate stage I would not want to vote for, and that would be Kasich,
Bush,
of course.
Christie.
Well, Christie's not on the eight.
The eight.
Who's left? I ran through my head just a minute ago. Kasich?
Paul? Bush.
Paul would be an iffy. He's on the borderline. It's, you know, yeah. If I had Paul versus Hillary Clinton, yeah, I'd vote for Paul.
Oh, I would too. Yeah.
But I think that might. Well, I guess maybe I was sitting here thinking about whether or not I'd vote for Trump. I guess that's part of it.
Well, I'd vote for anybody. I'd vote for Hillary.
I think at this point, even though Carson's pretty much down the list, my top three are Cruz, Fiorina, and Rubio. And Fiorina and Rubio keep switching back and forth. Cruz is still my number one.
Yeah,
I still think he is by far the most conservative person on the stage, period.
Yes, and to me, he's proven it.
He's proven it over and over again. He walks a walk, talks a talk.
If anybody I want to put into the office that's going to go after Obamacare, that's going to take it down and change it, he's the one that's going
to
do it.
Will actually try to do that.
He's already tried to do it.
I think if he's president, he probably will get it done.
Yeah. I don't think there'll be no deals with him. No, I'm not signing any deals. No, we're going to keep Obamacare and scale it down. He won't get rid of it. And he's going to do that.
And I think what he will do everything in his power to get rid of the IRS. And yeah. You know, whether or not he's that'll be tougher to do. But actually, both those will be big nuts to crack. Let's face it.
I don't see how the IRS will go away because also Cruises, which I'm not real crazy about.
He keeps saying it will because of what his tax plan is that you'll be able to get to the IRS. Quite so certain that could.
That won't do it.
I think you could get rid of a big portion of the IRS because if they were to accept his tax plan. If that were passed by Congress, there's a whole lot of people in the IRS you wouldn't need anymore. I mean, that is a fact. But it has to do with the fair tax does. And
right.
I just wish he would get on the fair tax wagon. I wish
something would get a hold of it. That's the only part about his thing. But I think that he probably feels like I think most people feel that it's so radical.
So radical, just won't. Yeah.
Yeah, that no one's that people won't vote for him because of that, because they don't know enough about it.
Yeah. There has to be a big, huge education campaign on fair tax, and there has been some of that, but it's all been self-funded. You almost literally need somebody with a lot of money, a big money bags kind of guy, a billionaire, that would pay to have the education process. And if it were explained and the American people understood the fair tax, I feel like it would pass, but it's not going to pass without a major campaign to explain it all and educate people. I just don't think that's going to happen. So based on that, Cruz's plan is probably one of the better ones that's been proposed. So,
but I have, I talk it up in my workplace, in my school. I talk it up, and they talk about taxes and things. And anytime a president election is coming up, and taxes are always come up, and I go, I'm for a fair tax, and they go, I don't know about the fair tax, and I don't know enough about it. And I said, it's very simple. It's a sales tax, national sales tax. That's what it is. I said, it's the same thing that Tennessee and Texas and I think South Dakota and Florida and Washington does it too. I mean, it works. And I said, everybody pays their share. When they talk about paying a fair share, everybody does, because no matter what, everybody's got to buy stuff.
Yeah, even drug dealers and illegal
bank robbers.
Yeah, whatever.
No matter what, there's no money under the table. They go buy a car, they'll pay their sales that taxes. There'll be no income tax. I said, you'll get your full paycheck. And they listen to me and they go, really? Oh, yeah. So I said, there'll be no IRS.
Ever.
And they'll come after you. There's no auditing anymore.
Because and there'll be nobody, your bank would not report you if you deposited more than $10,000 in your bank account.
Yeah. I said, the only need for the IRS would be a portion of it to watch over businesses to make sure they paid.
But the reality is the IRS wouldn't need to be around to do that, because each individual state, most every state, there's a handful of states that actually do not, believe it or not, have sales tax. And but the mechanism is, like in Tennessee, we have a sales tax, of course. And that organization, the Tennessee Department of Revenue, they govern and deal with the businesses in Tennessee. So they would do the exact same thing they're doing now. It's just the amount of tax that would be collected would be different. There wouldn't be a need for an IRS to monitor those businesses. And think about it. I've said this before. It's a hell of a lot easier to monitor the businesses within a state or a country than it is to monitor every single individual in the state or country. Think about the amount of monitoring, the amount of oversight that's required.
Yeah, not only that, but with IRS, I mean, you're guilty till proven innocent.
Well, yeah, we've talked about that.
They've
been guilty a few times.
But, I mean, you have to go prove it to them. You have to show them documentation, because if you don't, if you can't come up with the proof that you've been doing following the law, they just take whatever they want to take.
And the thing is that they don't even give you the opportunity to prove it. They just they say you're guilty. They assess a penalty. It starts accruing interest. It starts accruing, penalty and interest on whatever. And then you have to go to all the expense of proving your innocence or the fact that it's a legitimate deduction or whatever. And that stuff doesn't go away until – and the thing is, they can literally access your funds. They can seize your bank accounts. They can put liens on your property. They can do all kinds of stuff. And there's no judge, no trial, no jury, no nothing. Mm-mm. They just do it. And they get away with it. And you can't do anything to stop it, really.
Legalize Gestapo.
Yeah.
We'll get back to the elections. I think that can you give me your estimation on how long Bush will be in the race?
Well, you know what? I was thinking he would be there at least till Iowa, but I think he's gone before Iowa hits.
I don't think he's doing that well in New Hampshire.
Yeah, that's the only state out of the first three. We've talked about this before. It's the only state out of the first three that he's doing well at all, as far as I.
Was he number three or four? I think.
Yeah, he's not
in the top two.
No, I think he's third or fourth or whatever in New Hampshire.
I think he's fourth.
And I can guarantee you, he's not going to do squat in South Carolina. I can guarantee you that. That is not going to.
No.
Mm-hmm. Any southern state's not going to have Bush in the front.
No. You're at 4%, and you can't do well in New Hampshire, of all places. Then you don't have a prayer. Not Bush. I don't dislike him as a person. I think he's a good guy. I just don't agree with his policies. The biggest of his Common Core.
Yeah.
I'm a teacher. I don't want any part of that. And he is held strong with that thing, you know, and he's still government in education.
Well,
government
in
education. And I can't do that. I can't go with him.
I differ from you. Not just his policies, but you say he's a good guy. I'm not even sure he's a good guy.
Well, I think, I mean, if you do look at his record in Florida, I think it's very conservative.
People say that. People say that, and I would say it's moderately conservative. Of course, everybody knows that when it comes to conservatism, I'm just slightly to the right of Genghis Khan.
Genghis Mondoni.
Yeah. Okay, we're just about out of time. Real quick, you mentioned you thought that Trump would be gone and Carson would be there. That was the original question.
That's my feeling. Yeah,
I think it's the exact opposite.
Do you?
I'm thinking.
Trump will be there. I think
Carson will be gone. I think there is a nurse somewhere, and.
No, I don't think so.
I'm just playing. But I think it'll just kind of get to him. And the thing is, when they've tried that crap with Trump, and Trump just don't give a crap. And you're not going to – I think Trump's in for a long haul. I used to think maybe he wasn't, but I'm starting to think he is. Because you know what? I don't think he thought he had a chance. And now he sees he does. He's thinking, holy crap, I can be president of the United States. And I think now he's kind of thinking, well, I'll just kind of ride this thing out and see where it goes. Now here's the thing. His ego will not let him. If he starts falling way down in the polls and tanking, he'll drop out if that happens because his ego can't stand it. I do believe that, though.
I think he'll take himself out. Yeah, that's what's going to happen, I think.
But
I think Carson's going to. I think Carson's going to be the big one to.
But here's the thing: I don't think anybody will run him out. I guess that's the difference between I think Carson.
No,
and
no.
Carson's putting up a good fight. I just don't know if he can do it for the long haul. If they come after Trump like that, or of course they already have, really, in the way, Trump will not let that defeat him. Now, if all of a sudden the American public doesn't like him anymore because he makes a screw up or something like that, and he goes down the polls, then he'll get out because he doesn't want to embarrass himself.
I think it's going to be hard to knock Ben Carson off the pedestal.
Oh, yeah, it won't be easy. I think he'll put up a fight. You want to take us out, Ken? We're over.
If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. Ronald Wilson Reagan, our 40th president of these United States.
That's it. We're out of here. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.